Did I miss something? Did I black out? Hello and welcome to Love It or Weave It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weaves. I'm Annie, and I think the best Miyazaki film is Spirited Away.
I'm Jeff, and I think the best Miyazaki film, and this is the only correct opinion, is Princess Mononoke.
Oh, shit, that was my second favorite.
I win. You lose.
Okay, Spirited Away is more popular. I'm so sorry.
That's because it was more mainstream. It's a more basic pick, actually.
Actually, it's the best one for many reasons. Anyways, we're moving on.
No Face is a serial sexual harasser, and you're condoning and supporting behavior.
Actually, I'm going to throw you in the sewer. Anyways.
Today, we're sampling the first three episodes of Somali and the Forest Spirit, which is subtitled and dubbed on Crunchyroll and Verve. So, Annie, what is the show about?
Great. I'd love to tell you.
I would also love to know.
All right. Well, don't be sassy about it.
I was making a joke about how I watched three episodes and I still don't know.
Oh, well, anyways. So it's about this world that is completely made up of like spirits and goblins and other weird monsters. I guess, well, monsters is rude, but they're creatures. And like humans are gone. They're basically extinct except for Somali, this little girl that a golem who lives alone in a forest finds. And she's like, hey, you're my dad now. And he's like, cool. So they're traveling as father and daughter. And that's they're trying to find her family. But this isn't really explained early on. So I'm telling you now before you start watching it.
Yeah, I guess it's not really explained until episode two.
They don't explain that he, I mean, it's in the like synopsis and like kind of in the trailers and everything, but it's not explained till episode two that the golem only has a year to live.
Right. Also, I think that goal of them searching for her family is mostly on the golem's part. Like, I don't think, at least in these three episodes, I don't think she knows that's what he's trying to do.
Okay, so he's trying to find humans that are her family. And he's like, I gotta do this before I die. But she's like a little kid, so she doesn't know what's what. She just thinks like her dad and her are chilling.
So that's what the show is about. But some production background about the show. It is based on a web manga by Yako Gureshi, and which has been airing since April 2015 to the present. Has six volumes out. Is not licensed in English. I thought it was notable that it is a web manga. It's hard to get information on a lot of these Japanese-only publications, but it seems to be in a magazine that has web in the name, so I assume it's web-only. But what I found notable about that was that another series that this show reminded me a lot of, which is Made in Abyss, is also based on a web manga.
Well, would you look at that?
And that started in 2012. So this one started running 3 years later and maybe is inspired by it, maybe. Mm. Anyway, the show is produced by studios Satellite and Hornets. And I really did not know much about either of these two studios. Studio Satellite is apparently has like an extremely prolific history. They like looking at the list of things they're credited on. It's like almost every series in existence. Like if you are interested in a series, they probably did something for that series. But I think they're most known for Aquarian, Symphogear, and Macross. I think those are the things they like lead, and then they help out with a bunch of their series. And Studio Hornets, it seems like, has mostly done in-betweens for series like Banana Fish, Digimon Try, My Hero Academia, and Zombieland Saga. It's weird since they normally are credited with in-betweens. It's weird that they are credited with like full-on production alongside Satellite. Anyway, the series director is Kenji Yasuda, who is famous for Macross and Aquarian directing. And the series composition is by Mariko Mochizuki, who it seems like is their first time doing series composition. So
who knows? Not me.
I feel like every time when I do this research, my conclusion is, I don't know where this is going to lead. Like, aside from Eizouken, which was like, okay, there's clear pedigree and like, this is going to be amazing from who's working on it. Every other time it's like, this could be a mixed bag. Who knows? Who does know? Annie, what's your first impression?
You know, what I know is that nothing happened in the entire three episodes that I watched.
Oh.
You could have just watched the opening and it would have felt, I could have saved myself an hour and a half of time and just condensed it into 3 minutes of, look, there's some people traveling and there's stuff in the background. Cool.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned the opening because I feel like the opening's probably the best part of the show.
Yep.
Like, the song is not a banger in and of itself.
No, it's definitely not.
No. But, like, the pairing of the music to the animation, I feel like perfectly encapsulates the show. But also encapsulates isn't the right word because I think it oversells the show.
Yes.
And makes it seem much more... Okay, so here's what the opening does well. It, like, gives off this, like, cutesy vibe, this, like... There's a bit in the beginning of the opening where Somali is just like doing a little running around while the music is also, I don't know how to describe it. It's like
building up.
It's building up, but like in a way that like it matches how she's moving. And it's like, oh, it's cute. She likes to explore. Like this music is kind of exploring. And then it like, you know, eventually builds up to like I think the most notable moment is when like it starts swelling with, I think it has like a string section and there's like this big giant turtle in the background that appears. And it's like, oh man, the wonder of exploring and learning about the world. And maybe that's an aspect of the show that will get there eventually. And it's just not in these first three episodes. But I feel like the show itself is more like that. Oh, it's just cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's trying to coast off of like the cute factor of Somali. Mm-hmm. And like the juxtaposition between her being so like full of wonder and emotion and then the Gollum like not really having any.
Right.
And it's not good. I just would like, out of all of the ones we've watched so far, we've only watched like what, 4 series. This is the worst one of the season by far for me.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like, it's not like the worst garbage I've ever seen, but it's like not enjoyable.
Yeah, of the other shows we're on our fourth show, and all three before this one, we have weebed. We've weebed behind. But
we weebed it.
We weaved all of them, but I personally want to continue watching all of those three. Like, we weaved them because we were like, okay, it's not maybe the most amazing thing that everyone should go watch, but I'm like, okay, I'm still interested. This is the first one where I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to watch anymore.
I was good after like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, what I was thinking going into it was that it was probably going to be like Ancient Magus's Bride for me, which I thought was like beautiful and kind of interesting, but overall I was bored the whole time. But I did end up watching the whole series just to like see where it was going. Yes, I watched all of that shit. It was fine. It was pretty, you know? So I was like, you know what? I'll keep going. I can't do it. Not even to see where it's trying to go, because I know it's not going anywhere interesting.
Yeah, I had a similar experience with Ancient Magus' Bride, not with the anime, but with the manga. Mm. Like, I bought the manga before the anime came out, and people were praising, like, the world building is so good, and the art was so great. I was like, after one volume, I was like, okay, this art's pretty good, and this world seems like the artist has thought this out, but I'm not interested in it. Like, it hasn't hooked me.
Yeah,
and I feel like this show feels like that, but without the world actually being interesting.
Correct.
It's like the premise of the world seems to just be, what if everyone looked weird? You know, like,
yeah.
It's just like, what if everyone's a different type of creature? And it's like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, nothing's really that different, except it's not safe for her. That's it. Like, everyone could just be replaced. You could just take out the... like creatures and put in humans, and it feels like the exact same because they don't really make use of the fact that it is a like fantasy world until I guess the end of episode 3 it becomes more clear, but they don't really make like nothing about the world being different from the normal like Earth like is used. Also, okay, nitpicky. But in the first episode, they say a line about how, like, golems eventually return, or, like, nature has an ecosystem, and, like, when you die, you return to the Earth. I'm like, excuse me, this isn't Earth.
Well, okay, but like the Earth. The Earth.
Okay, yes, but like, let's get it.
Also, did they say it's not Earth? Because maybe it is Earth.
Okay, maybe it's alternate Earth. Because they explain that like humans and creatures lived separately but together. All right, whatever. I'm still annoyed, but
Saying about the world not being safe for her, I feel like the show isn't even consistent about that, because it's like occasionally it brings up the idea that humans are all basically extinct. Everyone thinks they're extinct, and like when they talk, like when he introduces her, it's like, oh, a human, or like when he says that he's looking for humans, then they're like, oh, you're looking to eat them? But like almost never is he actually concerned with walking around with obviously a human and worrying of people coming to attack them to like eat her. Like he's, you know, like cautions her to not run off because the world's dangerous, but it's not like, it seems like the way they presented it, he should be like hiding her identity the entire time and like not letting anyone know that she's human. But instead it's like, oh yeah, it's a human. You want to eat her? Oh, don't.
Don't do that. Thanks.
So yeah, and like,
so I'm weeping it so hard. There's no doubt in my mind. We're weaving it behind.
I was holding on to it a little bit, but then I fell asleep, and then it just weaved right out of my hand.
Oh, God.
That sounds... I should not talk about weaving with my hand.
No, we're leaving this.
I'm not just weaving this behind. I'm yeeting this behind.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay, we hate this.
I hate it, but I find it kind of fascinating how I hate it. Because I feel like on paper, it has a lot of the things that I like.
Yeah.
The like faux father-daughter relationship kind of thing is very similar on paper. It's cute, and it's very similar on paper to Barakamon, which is, as I said in one of the episodes, my favorite anime. And the like the kind of style of the show, I forget what it's called, like healing anime. Iyashiki, I think, is the name for healing anime. I might be totally wrong about that, but anyway, like
Weeb.
Things that are just like, you know, like, oh, you just come home and relax too. I guess I haven't really seen too many of those, but like, I'm not opposed to the concept. I'm also like, I'm all about things that are like, not light and fluffy, but like about humanity and empathy.
Kind of wholesome.
Yeah, like things that are wholesome, where it's like, oh, the bad guy seems evil, but actually like once you learn their motives and like, you know, they come to an understanding and like come to understand each other or something. But like, I don't know. I just feel like this is like so like thin on concept. Like the golem, it's just like, he's too perfect out of the bat for no reason. Like he has no reason to know how to feed a human. And yet he's like, okay, and like, here's all this food that I'm an amazing cook and can make for you. And it's like, okay, is this like wish fulfillment? Like, it's, I don't know.
A lot of stuff isn't explained. And like, I want to talk about like specific things that I hate.
Okay. We're going to talk about specifics now. If you want to go watch the show first, I guess go do that. But like, I don't know. I wouldn't recommend it.
Don't do it. I'm going to tell you right now, just listen to us tell you what happens or the lack thereof things happening.
Oh boy. So should I recap the episodes and then, okay.
Recap what you can.
So in episode one, Gollum becomes Daddy and saves Baby from the horrors of cat adoption. In episode two, Daddy and Baby meet a pair of Oni. Daddy learns pharmaceutical science and Baby learns what a chore is. In episode three, Daddy gets a job. And Baby gets sick of sitting inside, so she transfers to Maiden Abyss.
That isn't wrong.
Yeah. It was a chore to think back and be like, did something happen in this episode?
Nothing
for each of those happened. Episodes.
Seriously, it was horrible. I'm sorry, Somali and the Forest Spirit. You're just not good.
Wait. If we're gonna talk about we're gonna talk about nitpicks.
Yes, nitpick. Let's go.
Starting off the bat, every time I tried to think of the name, I tried to remember and recall the name Somali and the Forest Spirit, I just thought about Ori and the Blind Forest every single time.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Very different. One is good. Let's keep hurting this thing because it sucks. So first things first, it was talking about, hey, I'm a golem. I don't ever mess with the ecosystem. I just watch. oh, by the way, I found a child in chains and it called me dad. And then we just jump to them traveling. No explanation of how we got here. Did I miss something? Did I black out? It just wasn't good. There was no transition at all. And I was so confused. I was like, wait, why are you acting so familiar? Didn't you just meet this little girl?
Or like, oh, did you think they were acting so familiar?
Well, like when she was like running around, like, dad, look at this. We're in this town. Look at this, mm-hmm. dad. And I was like, wait, didn't you like just meet each other and weren't you just on the ground in chains? Like, when does this time skip happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that time skip is weird.
How much time has passed? A day? A year?
I didn't really question it because I was like, I feel like what I was trying to get across was like, they met at some point and now we're at some point along our journey. And I guess I was just so uninterested that I didn't care, that I didn't know what the gap in between that was. But I also feel like it was written that way because they didn't have an idea of what those scenes looked like, you know? Like, they were probably like, okay, so they met and then they're on a journey. That's all you need to know. That's all I've thought about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, ugh. And then the weird cat smelling her and it's like, wow, you smell like delicious. And then he just knew where she was. And the explanation for him knowing where she was, he was like, oh, I just know you leave when you have something that caught your attention. And I'm like, that doesn't explain shit, my dude. You're just like making
but
shit
but
up.
It ties back into earlier in the episode when she was distracted by something under the bed. Don't you see? No, it ties back. It's a sign of how well it's written.
Any sense. I was so angry. I was like, because you could have just not said anything and I would have been like, okay, whatever. But you had to ask, how did you find me? Well, I can't explain that.
I noticed that you run off. Therefore, I can locate you.
Yes. Or like the bullshit, like they were in the restaurant and like, oh yeah, we're looking for humans. Someone's like, huh. Remind me again why there's no humans. And I was like, you're joking. You're joking. And then like the server like launches into this long-winded explanation. I'm like, this sucks. Shit. I hate this. I want to die. But cute backgrounds.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you. I'm not done being angry. So I feel like 45% of this show was just stills. Just still shots that we panned. No, wait, we didn't even pan through the still. They just had the screen be still. I was like, is my screen frozen? No, this is just how this goes. I was like, did you spend $3 making?
Wow.
I was so mad.
I guess I give that a pass because I feel like my impression of that was that like the appeal of the show, the appeal of the manga was like these luscious backgrounds, which is fine, but it's not a story.
They're not that great.
Like they're not something that I would see and be like, oh my God, this looks so good. It's worth seeing. It also, I guess it's not really fair to compare it to Made in Abyss because I don't know the full history behind the two different series. Maybe they were not actually that similar in manga form and like their themes and everything could be completely separate. And they are very different series. But I feel like in that way, they feel so similar in that it's like what they really excel at is these like luscious environments. But I feel like Made in Abyss uses that to tell a compelling story and has like a world that teases you on purpose. It's like it gives you limited information and then feels like it actually knows the other answers and is withholding them from you on purpose. But this is like...
just has nothing for you.
Yeah, it's just empty.
There's nothing there.
Or when they do pan back a little bit and show you the next thing to reveal about the world, it's like, oh, that was your answer? Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Unsatisfying.
Yeah. What frustrated me the most about like how perfect the golem is just that like there's no conflict. It feels like wish fulfillment of like, what if you had the perfect dad? But I guess the eventual conflict that gets introduced is that he has a limited lifespan, is gonna die in a little over a year. He is like, quote unquote, rushing to find her parents before he dies. And then she thinks that he's rushing because he wants to be rid of her.
Yeah.
And then she starts to hunt for the whatever plant that will grant a wish And then that gets interrupted by the end of the episode. The end of episode 3 ended on a cliffhanger where, oh no, she's under attack and what's going to happen? And it's like, oh no, I bet he's not going to jump in and save her. But I guess that's supposed to be thrilling.
I guess. I was just, I was so bored from the previous, like, just nonsense happening that when something happened, I was just like, I guess, cool. I was just still angry because I also don't give a shit about her. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I forgot that I just hate children so much sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Because when this little dumbass, he's like, hey, don't go anywhere. She's like, cool, I won't. Like a cat, I'm going to follow it. And like runs off following this cat who was like going to eat her ass. This little idiot is just running away after he just told her not to run. And I'm like, God, kids are the worst. I hate them.
Yeah, contrasting it with Barakamon. And even Sweetness of Lightning, which I didn't even watch more than one episode of, but I feel like that one episode gave me a better picture of this than several episodes of this show. I feel like when it's about this like older father figure and younger girl, like what makes that act more than just like on the surface appealing is usually because it's like, it's about them both learning from each other. Or like, what I really love about Barakamon is that it's like, you know, it's the it's not really a father-daughter kind of thing. It's more like a older brother, younger sister kind of thing, because he's not that old. And it feels like he's learning how to appreciate life and to be more childish and to embrace his inner creativity from this young girl. And in this show, it's just like, I guess he's learning some things about humanity. Like there is like a scene or two about how he like recognizes the face of, like he recognizes emotions because of seeing her upset. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, he's not like interested in that. He's not like, I don't know. It doesn't, like, maybe eventually it's going to get to a point where it's like he's learning from her, but it doesn't, I don't know. It's not compelling in that way.
No, it sucks. Also, why does he care in the first place to get her to her family? They never explain.
Because seeing her cry has just made him feel something for the first time.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. This is dumb. It just doesn't make any sense. They give me no reason. He has no motivation to get her there. I don't care about her even a little. I don't care about their relationship because they haven't made me care about the relationship. And they try to like pull some shit in episode 3 to make it interesting. Like, oh, here's a murderous mushroom. Fight it.
Even that is just, I feel like it's entirely predictable. And maybe I'm, you know, putting my foot in my mouth if this isn't how it's resolved, but it's like, isn't it obvious that he's just going to come in and save her? And then like, maybe they'll have some, you know, heart to heart where he's like, why'd you run off? And then she's like, oh, because I was worried about this. And then he'll be like, oh no, actually here's what's going on. Like, I don't know. It just feels like it just seems so predictable, even when it tries to have some actual conflict. So I don't know. That's what I appreciate about like when there is like A3, when people have conflicts, I really appreciate when it's not like exactly what I would have expected out of that conflict, when it surprises me in some way, even if that's like a tiny little thing like, oh, the way this person's responding feels natural and isn't something I saw coming from a mile away. And like, it doesn't have to be a big grand thing, but it's just like the way they worded something, the way they reacted to something. And this is just like, oh, exactly what I expected.
Yeah. Cool. It's just, it's not interesting. The story's not fun. And, like, the world's not even rich enough for me to, like, just care about that. I'm trying to think of an example of that, but
I feel like it thinks the world is rich.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Just because your backgrounds are pretty and you hold a still for a while doesn't mean, like, it's an interesting world.
Yeah, it feels like a complete facade. It's, like, the front of a building, and then it's just, you realize it's just a set, and it's just a fake, like, board, and you look around the building, and there's no building there.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to have some moments where things were really pretty. Like, there was, like, the jellyfish in episode 3 that were, like, glowing and flying, I guess. Or there was, like, also, like, butterflies or something that looked like butterflies. And, like, it felt like they were trying to make a pretty scene instead of actually just making one. I was like, this is kind of cute. Like, it looks like a wallpaper for a computer, like a generic anime wallpaper. I'm sorry, Somali and the Forest Spirit. You just suck so much, but
I guess I'm just wondering if, like, maybe it's possible that it gets to some environments and scenes that are just so pretty that it's worth heralding and being like, this show is great because of these, or this manga was great because of these, but it wasn't in these episodes. And the impression I got, I don't have any hope or expectation that it will do that.
No. Yeah. it also, it just wastes so much of your time because mm-hmm. there's like that whole thing where he's like learning medicine from those Oni in the woods or wherever they were. And it's like, this is not relevant information. I don't need to watch you go from start to finish on making this medicine.
Oh, but it's such a rich world.
Yeah, great.
This cool. shows how rich it is.
Here's, they named a bunch of plants. Excellent. But it's like, that was a big chunk of the episode too. Like, we didn't further the story at all. We just made some medicine.
Did you ever read the Redwall books?
No.
Oh, so the Redwall books, do you know what they're about?
Nope. You gotta tell me.
So it's just about like anthropomorphized animals who live in an abbey and fight other anthropomorphized animals. And like an inordinate amount of each book is just devoted to like describing the feasts that they have and like describing the food on the table. And it's like, okay, was this necessary?
The answer is no.
I feel like it's an unfair comparison because it's like those books were good for what they were trying to be. And this is not. So I feel like no one would look at Redwall and be like, oh, the strength of Redwall is the feasts. And I feel like the show, I don't know, kind of feels like maybe it feels like it was written or conceived by someone who did think that was the strength of Redwall.
Mm. Yeah, somebody who doesn't know how to write shit.
Wow. Okay. Sorry. I don't want to make this like too personal against people who we don't even know, you know? And we don't know the production.
No,
process.
I'm
we
coming
know.
For you, whoever you are. This
we don't know
wild.
How it's created.
I'm still mad that I had to sit through that. I feel personally slighted.
They made it to attack you.
They made it to hurt me and make me sit through this. And like, who is this for? I just really want to know who they thought this demographic was.
The thing is, I don't think they're wrong to, I don't know, just seeing my impressions of who's enjoying the show is mostly informed by like seeing people chatter about shows in like the first week before everything had come out. Mm-hmm. And this show seemed pretty popular. Maybe it was because it was one of the first things that came out, but I think it like really does appeal to like, it's moe, it's cute, she's cute, but like, I feel like it really appeals to that kind of like a bro demographic of like, oh my God, she's so cute.
Well, I truly thought it was going to be more like what I said earlier, Ancient Magus's Bride, like the same kind of thing, but like maybe father-daughter instead of like romantic. So I thought it would be kind of like that, like kind of boring, but like an interesting world enough to keep you like watching. But it just, it's not that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, I'm tired of talking about Somali. It sucks. We're weebing it behind. The episode is over.
I weebed it. It's been weebed.
It's been weebed a long time ago. Okay, we're done. I don't want to talk about this stupid series anymore.
I know this is not the best time to say this now because it's like at the end of shitting on it for a long time.
Yes.
And so like presumably no one's listening if they actually liked it. Or if they did, they're very mad or frustrated by us. But like mm-hmm. I am curious what people like about it if they do still like it. Or if that wasn't just the initial hype because it was the only show that had aired for a couple of days. So I don't know. If you are listening to this and really like the show, I would really be interested to hear what you like about it.
Yeah, please add us on Twitter at loveitorweebit. Or email us at loveitorweebit@gmail.com. Listen, I'm going to tell you, people do like this show, and I don't understand.
Yeah. Are you looking at, like, my anime list rankings?
Yes. Can I read you a review?
Sure.
Well, one person makes a joke, because Daisuke Ono is the voice actor, and they said, Jotaro is finally a good dad. Shut up. They said, this anime is very beautiful, and all the visuals and character designs are neat. So they rated this thing a fucking 9.
Ugh.
Are you kidding?
I guess that's just extreme recency bias. Like, oh, it looks neat. 9 out of 10.
Yeah, like, they're also, like, hype that the opening is sung by, I think, Somali's voice actress.
Oh, huh.
It's like, okay. Great, I'm happy for you. And, like, another person said, 9. It's a heartfelt story with amazing visuals. If you're a fan of the series Made in Abyss, you think you're more sure to love this one. They gave the story an 8, though. Ew, shut up. Who are you people?
When I was trying to hint at before, like, I feel like this might appeal to my animalist core demographic of
dummies,
sexist, misogynistic bro who doesn't actually talk to any women or, like, respect women,
hey.
But likes to see cute girls. And
take them down, Jeff. Go off.
And I don't know, like, again, maybe I'm putting my foot in my mouth, but like, I feel like Yotsuba, which is like pure innocence, like cute girl foundational manga series. And I feel like there are a lot of like reactionary shitheads who love it. And I'm like, I don't understand this sweet thing, but like, I think, I don't know, there's an aspect of it that's like really sexist people can see little girls and be like, oh, they're so cute. And yeah. I don't fully understand that phenomenon. But when I see a series like this that I'm like, it feels so light and fluffy, and there's nothing to it. And then that kind of community, like My Anime List, loves it. I don't know.
No, listen, it's not just My Anime List. I'm scouring the internet and there's fools everywhere. Okay, on fucking Crunchyroll, 41 people gave it a 5-star. So as a 4.8 out of 5, you're all fools.
That's for episode 1 or like the show overall?
Just the show overall. It says, has a lot of promise after the first episode. It's 5 stars. That's not what you don't give things 5 stars if they have a lot of promise.
Well, for episode 1, I think that's fair.
Shut up. No. Someone said, everybody's talking just about how the scenery and the environment's pretty.
Oh, wait, can I have another complaint, which is...
Yes, go off. Drag.
I guess I'm just very cynical about something where it's like, it's constructed to look everything's very cute. And then it's like, from the onset is like, you're going to cry by the end. Cause it's set up that like, he has a limited lifespan. He's trying to get her to her parents before he dies. And it's like, oh man, you're going to cry so hard when he dies. And I'm like, okay. It reminds me a lot of, there's a plot line in, I've only seen half a season of This Is Us, but there's a plot line in that where like a character is introduced and comes into a family's lives because they have cancer and because they're going to die soon. And it's like, that's not unrealistic. Like it's logical and that follows naturally from the story and the setting and everything. So like, I never really questioned it watching it, but then later I was like, this character was just introduced to be a ticking time bomb of like, oh my God, you're going to cry so hard. And I'm like,
sucks. So,
I don't know.
I'm not going to get attached to characters if I know they're going to leave also.
I mean, yeah. So I feel like This Is Us disguised that like wrapped it up enough that you're like, you don't realize that it's like, oh, this is just like, not like a plot mechanic, but it's like their entire purpose to the story is to make you cry. And I feel like Somali and the Forest Spirit, not the Blind Forest, Somali and the Forest Spirit doesn't disguise it quite as well. And yeah, I don't know. It's just like, you can see through the cracks and it's like, you can see through the cracks in his skin because his skin's cracking. And it's like, oh, he's only there because you're going to cry so hard once he died. That's why he's so perfect. He has no flaws.
Can I tell you, I found one or like two people who agree on Crunchyroll.
Are we the only people who dislike this show?
No, there's another guy or person, and they said, so boring, completely mindless, just pretty colors and a dumb-faced kid being an idiot. Yo, bro, Ash Clayton on Crunchyroll? You're a real one. But another person said, illogical plot with bad pacing about Somali.
I mean...
Story lacks explanation to a disjointed plot that leaves it seemingly illogical. And... whatever, but their username is SLDFK823BNLSDF34GH.
Shout out.
So they're really cool. They've written 20 reviews and they're all like 1 star. So what's up?
I don't know. The impression I got on Twitter was that after the first episode, people were like, the show has promise, has potential. And then by now, like, how many episodes are out now? Like 6 or 7?
7.
By now, people are like, no one's talking about it because
nobody's talking about it because it's bad. And all of you who gave it good scores, you keep watching. I don't know what happened. All right, well, this sucks. We're done. I don't want to talk about this show anymore. I want to go have fun.
Go watch a good show.
I'm going to go watch a good, or I'm going to have to watch the next thing.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to the audience. We can't choose. We're locked into this track. Locked into the next show we're watching is Bofuri. I don't want to get hurt, so I'll max out my defense.
Thanks a lot,
Joe. I'm so excited. Also, I should point out, we weed this show so hard. And whose pick was it? Whose pick was it? Annie, whose pick was it?
All right, Jeff. Whose pick was it? Listen, we've weaved all of them so far, okay?
What is the one show that we wanted to love, but technically couldn't because of a technicality, because of coronavirus and the global health crisis. Listen. Who picked that show?
Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I don't know your middle name, so I can't scold you perfectly, but listen, this isn't a good season. I'm so sorry.
I'm just saying my track record is perfect so far, and yours is perfectly horrible.
No, your track record is still technically a Weebit, so how about you have a seat?
Mine's like the TKO of Weebits.
Anyways, we're done.
We're baby. We're done.
We're also baby. Please review us on Apple Podcasts.
I feel like we're inviting ourselves to be like people to leave us terrible reviews.
Yeah, if you want to leave us like a shitty review, please go to Apple Podcasts and tell me how much I suck. I'm ready. Or please email.
Please don't.
If you have to write a full review of how much or how wrong I am, please email it to loveitorweebit@gmail.com.
We get things wrong sometimes. We hated this, but don't hate us. Please don't hate us.
I'm
stick with
always
us.
Right. Shut up, Jeff. I'm right. They're wrong. Let me be right. So review us on Apple Podcasts.
Send us feedback to loveitorweebit@gmail.com or loveitorweebit on Twitter. Let us know if we are wrong in your eyes and you love the show and why you love it, because I'm really genuinely curious.
But if you love it, I will personally argue with you.
We will not argue with you. We won't get into
at
a
me.
Long debate.
At me. Turn on
or
your location.
Any will.
I'll turn on my location. Let's go.
You want me to fist fight?
Find me on Twitter at any other name.
And I'm definitely Jeff. And we'll have links to all of those things in the show notes in case you missed them. And as we said, next week we are going to be covering Beaufort. I don't want to get hurt, so I'll max out my defense, which is going to be so trash. I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm looking for anything to cleanse my palate after this anime. So.
I feel like it's going to be more fun to watch something that we know and expect to be trash than to watch something that was hyped up to be like so grand, and instead we're like, there's nothing to it.
Yeah, that's the thing that sucks is when you think something's good, you're let down that much harder. When you think something's going to be bad, like A3, and then I was just so pleasantly surprised that I was like, I love this.
Yeah. I know all about disappointment. Let me tell you about 3 years of Digimon movies that came out.
Okay. Anyways, so bye. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to Love It or Weebit. Sorry I got really aggro at the end, but I'm also not sorry about it.
Don't hate us. Don't hate us.
You can hate me. Don't hate Jeff.
Hate,
you didn't
hate
do
Annie.
Anything.
I don't like being mean. And this was a whole episode
I'm
of us being
it.
Mean.
Let's go. Bye.
Bye. And as we always say, ding dong, anime calling. Actually, no, I like Best better.
Fuck.
I think it's more of a hot take. It's more, it's not as like spicy if it's like, well, I personally prefer.
All right, fine.
You don't love Mon Mon, the water spider? That's
Shut
his most famous work.
I'm saying Porco Rosso and no one can stop me.
Mine is the clip of him not actually saying anime was a mistake. Best anime film.
Shut up. Okay, are we recording this?
You can start whenever you're ready.
I started. Cool. We did it.
We did it. Yay.
We're done. We recorded. All right, pack it up. Oh, wait. I have to start it, huh?
This was about as much material as the show itself.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
Hot takes already. Okay, I'm going to start this. Okay. What are these days? All right. I'm getting into it. Oh, fuck. I hit the mic. I'm sorry.
Do, do, do.
Fine. Okay, wait. Let me drink some water.
Oh. What's up, Internet? We're Love It and Weave It.
Shit.
Love It or... Oh, I already messed it up.
Fuck. Okay, ready?
Let's cancel it.
Okay. Hi, shit. This is the hardest part, truly. Hi, shit. Okay. All right. I don't know why this is the hardest part. Okay.
Hi.
Shit, I was about to do that. Okay. Hello and welcome to Love It or Weave It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. We should have started this off. Hi, I'm Annie and I'm adopted.
The person who sent us an email with the dragon print suggestion?
Yes, Kelsey.
Is she your birth sibling?
No.
No, that's just a thing
unrelated,
she
says. She or her mom and my birth mom were roommates while they were pregnant with us.
Wait, is she also adopted?
No.
Okay.
So her mom kept her. They're both 19 when they had us and they were best friends. And they just both happened to accidentally get pregnant at the same time.
Oh.
So they were 19-year-old roommates who both accidentally got pregnant. And then, Kelsey was technically present at my birth because I was born first.
Oh. So, like, once you got in touch, like, you found her?
I found Kelsey. Kelsey and I became friends in high school because she transferred to my school. And then through her, I found my birth mom on accident.
Wait, so you became friends with her without knowing that?
Yes.
What?
She was like my best friend in freshman year of high school. And then I went to her house and like for a birthday thing. And her mom like looked at me weird and was like asking me a bunch of questions. And when I let it slip, I was adopted. And my real name was Julianne. She was like, oh, fuck. Like,
what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I never told you the story.
No, this is like 10,000 times more interesting than this anime.
Yeah. So she was like, she called my mom, Margie, and she was like, Margie, you will not guess who was just fucking at my house. She was like, is your fucking daughter? And so we make the joke that we've been friends since the womb, or we're fetus friends.
But you're from different wombs, though.
Yeah, but we've been friends since the womb.
Since the wombs, plural.
Yes, okay, since the wombs. All right. We used to, we would say that our friendship goes womb deep, and it was really
good. Oh, boy.
But yes, that's my lifetime story. And like, runs off following this cat who was like, gonna eat her ass. It's just like.
The cat was gonna eat her asshole?
Jeff, I'm gonna kill you.
I can't even leave that into the bloopers.
No, we're gonna cut that. Ash Clayton on Crunchyroll, you're a real one. Wait, I have to read his other reviews before I say that. Oh, no.
They're terrible? Sure.
No, they're fine. There's only three of them. Gave Why Did You Come to Japan 5 stars. And gave Samurai 7 5 stars.
Wait, is Why Did You Come to Japan on Crunchyroll nowadays?
Yes.
Isn't that the show where they just interview people at the airport?
Yes.
I didn't know that was on Crunchyroll.
Me either until right now, thanks to this random reviewer.
I remember how this episode started off with you saying you didn't want to say that Victor and Yuri were canonically gay, and now you're like...
No, I will. I didn't want to open this can of worms. They are gay. They're together. But
instead you've said, like, that was too hot of a can of worms to open, but instead you're like, anyone disagrees with me is shit. You're all terrible.
Yes. Yeah. All right, listen, I was told I needed to take a harder stand on this podcast, so here I am, taking a harder stand.
Wait, did someone tell you that? Did I tell you that?
Yes, not you.
Oh.
But I was told. I got notes.
Bye. And as we always say, ding dong, anime calling.
Ew, I hate that one.